Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Today, I'm going to be talking about developmental language disorder, and we're going to be talking about late talking or ASD. So that's what today's topic is. This is one that is super near and dear to my heart. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Marcy Melzer. I'm an intuitive, I'm a speech language pathologist, and I'm a natural language facilitation expert. And my platform, wavesofcommunication.com, is all about equipping and empowering parents and caregivers and professionals who want to become natural facilitators and facilitate spoken language faster than traditional speech therapy. So as I mentioned before, today we're going to be talking about late talking and developmental language disorder. So this issue is, if you have watched my Einstein syndrome videos, it's probably likely that Albert Einstein had developmental language disorder. They weren't calling it then, but here's about Albert Einstein that has some of the characteristics, so you're going to learn more about it as we go in. And I love this picture of Einstein because this is not the image that most of us think about Einstein. This is Einstein's inside of his mind sharing his own feeling, right? Now, Einstein didn't talk until after 4 years old. He was a late talker. He had lots of failures and sadness in his childhood, and he also had a very unique mindset. It was all in his mind. Lots of thinking, deep, deep thinking, all in his mind, right? And he was not fond of speaking or teaching even after he learned to talk, and he was oppositional to directives. And of course, Einstein had no problem with intelligence. So one of the reasons that I was inspired to do this is I have been getting comments from parents, and this is one I just received yesterday from Tiffany on Facebook. She's very concerned, and let's read what she says. It says, "Hi, Ms. Melzer, my son Ashton is 5 years old and will be six next month. He was a late talker. Although he didn't start speaking until almost four, he could put puzzles together. He could count to 100 at three. He could read, although he couldn't talk. Everything you said in your videos was my child. He's now studying Pi 3.14. He loves science, very interested in the black hole. He was doing multiplication at four and can do large numbers in his head." So there are a lot of late talkers out there that resemble those characteristics that I talk about with Einstein. But that doesn't stop people from being worried because kids like this little guy, Ashton, are not succeeding in school. And this mom is contacting me because she says, "I'm up crying because my son does not learn like a traditional child. And I feel like sitting in a classroom is torture for him. He's acting out and I have to pick him up from school. Of course, they want to diagnose him with autism. His teacher or his school is on board with me and does not feel it's autism either. His medical doctor also says that it's not autism, but I don't know what to do and I feel like I'm failing my child." So this is the big motivation. There are many, many parents out there with kids who are suffering from developmental language disorder. So in this video, we're going to dig into it and I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. So what we're going to be covering on this video, number one, is what is DLD? What actually is it? What are the symptoms of DLD? We already alluded to them, but we'll get into the details. And we will compare DLD to ASD so you can do your own comparison with your own child. And I'm going to teach you how to work with children who have DLD because this is the reason I have my channel, is because of these children. I've been working with them for decades and I know all about DLD. So what is it? DLD is a communication disorder that interferes with learning, understanding, and using language because communication is how we do that. We have to have communication for all of those things. Now, DLD can affect a child speaking, listening, reading, and writing. And so I just wanted to do a shout out here. A lot of the factual information that I'm providing here comes from the internet, the Developmental Language Disorder page of the NIDC, NIH.gov. Okay. So if you want to research more about those facts and figures, you can head over to that website to learn more about it. DLD is a real thing, a real common thing. And here's some other things about it, very specific about DLD. These language difficulties in DLD are not explained by other conditions. So DLD is not caused by hearing loss, and it is not present necessarily in kids with hearing loss. It could be coexistent, but they are not related. True autism in ASD is different from DLD. Extenuating circumstances such as lack of exposure to language or overuse of technology, these things are not developmental language disorder. They are other reasons for children to be late talking, but DLD is different from these things. Let's learn about how it is different and why it is different. So it is very common. That's one of the reasons that it gets so confused, because many things overlap it and it's very common. In fact, it's one of the most common developmental disorders affecting approximately one in 14 children, and it's not identified until kindergarten age. So many children are presenting it younger and some of them are still presenting. So kindergarten age is 5 or 6, guys. DLD is diagnosed by speech therapist or speech pathologist. It's not diagnosed by psychologists or doctors or neurologists because it is a communication disorder. It is in the realm of the speech therapy world. And that's where it belongs, because this is a communication disorder. And it's just the latest of these terms, because DLD has been around forever, but it has been called other things. So it may have been called specific language impairment. That was what I started using back in the 90s. Then there was expressive language or global language delay, which happened way before that in the 80s and 70s, you know, when I was first learning about speech therapy. And then there is this term called developmental dysphagia, which goes back very long and relates childhood problems to adult strokes, because back in those days, they didn't have ways to describe what this DLD is, and they do now. And it's developmental language disorder, which is just exactly how it sounds. Now, DLD is a lot more commonly used outside of the USA. So if you are in the US, you may not have even heard of it, and your speech therapist may not have even heard of it. However, it is becoming increasingly more popular. There is a DLD month, October. They just had a DLD day in Australia. So I know that it is becoming more commonly used, but it is in the speech therapy world. So you're not going to get this diagnosis from your developmental pediatrician, okay? However, it is neurologically related. DLD is a neurodevelopmental disorder. And again, this comes from the NIH. Neurodevelopmental disorders are caused by complex interactions between a person's genes, what you were born with, and the environment that you were born into that change brain development, because brains change constantly. They're very plastic and they're very impactful by the environment, especially when a child is very young. So that's why DLD still shows up in kindergarten, because kids don't grow out of it naturally quickly. It is a developmental disorder. It causes a disorder in the way that children develop. And this is specifically in the area of the speech and language processing center, okay? Now, the exact causes of these brain differences that lead to DLD are unknown. But they are identifiable on MRI studies, fMRI studies. So that's how they know they exist. And these neurodevelopmental disorders tend to run in families. So think about it. Late talkers who have aunts or uncles or siblings or parents even who were late talking. 50 to 70% of children with DLD have at least one family member who also has the disorder. So this DLD runs in families. So think about your late talker and how many other late talkers are in your families to lead you down this path to explore more about what DLD could be and if your child has it. So here are some more indicators. Dyslexia is how DLD shows up in writing. And hyperlexia is also a neurodevelopmental disorder that is comorbid with children who are diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders, right? So remember, all of these are subjective diagnoses that come from a child's activities and behaviors and abilities or failures to gain things. And these problems are commonly found, again, in the family members of a child. So they might not be late talking, but they'll have dyslexia, or they probably are late talking and dyslexia, or they may have had hyperlexia. So let's get into the symptoms. What are the symptoms of DLD? And basically, children with DLD are late talkers. Developmental language disorder means late to get speech, right? And so these are the kids that were originally referred to by Dr. Stephen Camerata. He's the first one who started calling them late talking children. Okay, so if you have read his book, Late Talking Children, a Symptom or a Stage, that could be your go-to, you'll know. Now, here are the signs, 7 signs of DLD in children, okay? Now, they are late to put words together in sentences. They may learn words, and they may even learn words quickly and early. Like, even when they start talking, they will learn words, but they won't be able to put them together into sentences. They'll just be stuck with labels for a very long time. They will also struggle to learn new words because they get stuck with their things that they've memorized as their language, and it's challenging for them to learn new words. Their processing is slower. They can't use conversational language because they can't think in a talking way fast enough. They could write amazing, but they can't talk in conversation very well. They have difficulty following directions, okay? And so these are characteristics that you see in children that are probably older than 4 or 5 years old, but you can see how these characteristics can be evident in children who are younger as well. 5, they're not stubborn, but fearful to participate. They're anxious, they don't want to, they're worried about failing, because they do. They have had the experience of failing a lot of times. Learning is hard. Learning to talk is hard. And frequent looks of confusion with silence because they don't completely understand what you're saying. They get the general gist, but they don't understand it well enough to perform to your expectations. So you'll get those looks of confusion with silence, waiting for you to give them more information to help them understand. And they will use grammatical errors when speaking. The kids that you see who are late talking, the circumstances that they're late talking in, you'll see them to be very environmentally managed. And you'll see the more that the environment becomes stressful, the more challenge they have. So let's get back. So like I said, these are really kind of complex things. Let's go over here. So these are the 7 signs of DLD in children, but there are other signs of DLD in adults, because remember, this is one of those conditions that does not correct without some kind of intervention, some kind of learning and actual focus on developing speech, because he can't just pick up language naturally without help if you have DLD. And adults, this is how they sound. They have limited uses of complex sentences, very simple talking, one-liners. They find a difficulty to find the right words. You'll see them stumbling. You'll see them using a lot of ums and ahs and I don't knows, and just saying, I just don't know, or I don't remember, or things like that, because they just don't come up with the right words. They have difficulty understanding figurative language. So if you tell a joke or something with a metaphor or something like that, they might not get the joke. They could be super shy and avoidant of conversation. They could choose careers that are isolated, artists, musicians, where there can be performing on stage when they've got everything memorized, but when they've got to have conversation about their whys and hows, that's challenging. They also, as adults, end up with reading problems and dyslexia. A lot of adults with DLD end up with dyslexia, and a lot of people with dyslexia were late talkers that never got any intervention until they went to school and they had trouble with reading and writing. Number six, they could have very disorganized storytelling and writing. They can't stay on topic. They can't remember details. They can't put all the bits and pieces together. It could be in writing they're better than speech. It all depends on their neurology. And that's the other thing that's unique is all these kids are different. It's very common, but they're all very different. And then these adults also use frequent grammatical and spelling errors. So these are the signs of DLD in adults who get it going. Now, DLD is not a learning problem or autism spectrum disorder, but it can be super easily misdiagnosed, especially if the provider, examiner, whoever's doing the evaluation is an expert on behavior analysis. So DLD is confused by professionals who are not aware that the condition exists. And that includes speech therapists, okay? So it doesn't matter who's assessing the child. If you don't know that DLD exists, you will think that it is ADHD, oppositional defiant, learning disabilities, or autism. And again, especially if the evaluator is an expert on behavior because they're looking through the behavior lens and not the communication lens, like a speech language therapist would. Now, DLD is only able to be officially diagnosed by a certified speech therapist who's trained in evaluation. So you are going to want to make sure if you suspect that this is going on with your child, that you find a therapist who is aware of this disorder and you want them to see if your child meets the criteria so they can give you the official diagnosis. Because if you don't get the right diagnosis, you won't get the right intervention. And then your child with DLD will suffer as a result of it. Okay. So DLD may be misinterpreted as a behavior issue because the late talker will use a wide variety of behavior, everything from shy and withdraw to escape to fight or flight, you know, tantrums, throwing themselves on the floor. And these things will come out, especially when the late talker is frustrated. And that's why behavior experts jump all over this, okay? Now, other common issues make the symptoms of DLD worse. So your child could have both, remember, because it's very common. Let me pull that back just quick here. And remind you that virtual autism, ear fluid, and high demand therapies on top of a child who has developmental language disorder, they make the problem a lot worse. And so this diagnostic process is going to rely on professionals and parents working together to sort out all of the issues, all the things that happened in the child's past, all of their medical experiences and everything. Okay. And the bottom line here is that the basic explanation of what this is all children with speech delay have an underdeveloped speech brain. And so we're just going to be talking about that speech brain because it's all the different processes that are involved, not just the listening part or the speaking part or the memorizing part, but the speech brain involves all of those issues. And if your child has suffered from ENT issues or extreme tech exposure, they also will show neurological delays as a result of their lack of exposure to speech. Remember, DLD can be ruled out when you have those things, but it can be core morbidity, right? They're at the same time. And the bottom line, functional reality about DLD. Late talking kids with DLD are clearly not ready for cooperative classroom learning. And if you send a child to these environments without the kind of structure they need, without the kind of language support they need, you're going to end up like the comment I got at the very beginning of this video with the mom who doesn't know what to do with their child. So they're not ready for school. And functional, confident speech and social skills are out of reach for them unless they get the right intervention to activate the speech brain. Because as soon as you put them into places where they're not successful, they can't even start development because they're too anxious and fearful of failing in this environment, okay? So I just need to take a minute to say thank you for your support And welcome to all the community members on my website and all of my newsletter subscribers. Thank you so much for joining me. The website's just been redesigned to include everything that's here now. And you can head over there, push one of these buttons, sign up for my newsletter, explore my trainings, all of that's right there. Now, let's get back into this DLD because it is common for professionals who are trained in behavior and not language to confuse DLD with autism spectrum disorder. And remember, a lot of the people who are writing what you read online are those people who are trained in behavior and not language, okay? Because they diagnose autism spectrum disorder by behaviors the child uses. And many children with DRD are being misdiagnosed and placed in behavior intervention instead of speech intervention, which is not what they need, right? Okay, now here's where we start with the confusion. These symptoms are in both ASD and DLD. So this is where people start to say, you know, I see it, so I call it. So just remember, these are the things that you will see in all of them. And there's another way to rule in the DLD diagnosis. And that is expressive language is unique and based on experience. Like I said, they will change how they talk based on where they are in the world. They will be different at home than they will out in the community. They will be different with people they trust than people they are afraid of. Okay. And this is true for both autism and DLD, right? Now, difficulty with following spoken language directions without cues and prompts. There's lots of different reasons, but both of these kids are bad at it. That's why they struggle in school. They both use memorized gestalt phrases as the foundation for their language that they use expressively to communicate with people. And they both are curious and cautious about new things. They like new things if they're appealing to them, but they're cautious because they know what it's like to be prompted or pushed or controlled, okay? And they develop stims. And both of them use these stims to help them self-regulate when they're anxious. And they both are often misunderstood and talked down to. That's just it. Everybody talks down to them once they realize these symptoms. And then the child feels. So even kids with autism have feelings, but they feel shy, distrusting, anxious, frustrated, and manipulative. They can move through a range of feelings. They just don't express them, or they express them in very different ways. So if you screenshot this, you'll see these are why most people get confused. And depending on your behavior or your speech, you'll call it one or the other based on those symptoms. And so your intervention choice is going to make or break your ability to facilitate functional change with a neurodevelopmental disorder. And you definitely don't want to pick an intervention that will cause more delay by adding new environmental issues. And even children with autism spectrum disorder are affected by environmental issues. So the wrong intervention is a big one, and you definitely want to avoid it. This is a neurodevelopmental disorder. And so the key to understanding the child's speech brain, how this child you are looking at, is through natural connection. Because if you try to prompt or pull anything out of them, that is structured and artificial. But if you want to know what the child's speech brain is capable of doing today, you're going to learn that through natural connection. And there are clear signals in the way children with DLD and children with ASD respond, and they're different, that helps facilitators see the difference between these two disorders. So let's review first those signals of children and how a child with DLD will respond. Oh, but wait first. You have to do your best to connect. And I want to give you a little tip before you go in there and start connecting with kids. I want to give you some ideas. And this video that I did last spring is all about very specific tips to help you facilitate new connection in less than an hour. And you can get some strategies to get you connected first. So that's what you have to do. Remember, this requires you to reach into the child's world so that you can figure out and get your identification of what this is based on their response to natural communication. Now, if you're in the diagnosis and with the speech therapist, you really want to work with them if you're struggling to understand your child's functional communication. Sorry, that's a little typo that got on there. So you definitely have to work with your speech therapist if you want the official diagnosis, right? And you're going to have to work with them to identify these responses. Remember, they're looking for those other things that we said all light talkers do. But this is the difference with a child who has DLD. Number one, they will connect quickly when you do reach and teach, okay? And in my workbook, everywhere, you're going to find out. Now, they will show you joint attention and eye contact when you slow your speech. That's all you have to do is slow down your talking and this child will understand you, because it's not like they have a difficulty understanding. They have a difficulty processing and picking it up and putting it in their brain. That's what a neurodevelopmental problem is. So they will benefit from detailed visual aids and demonstration. They want the more detail you can give them. As long as you don't touch them, they will benefit. This is a child with DLD. They don't want you touching them. They want you showing them, because they want to learn from repeated examples and detailed examples and slow examples. And they're easy. It's easy when they make nonverbal communication behavior. It's easy with a child with DLD to see immediately what they mean behind it. You'll know how they feel. You'll know what they want. You'll know their intention. You'll know how they're responsive, because they're very good. Children with nonverbal, they used to call it nonverbal learning disorder, developmental language disorder. They use these nonverbal, these facial expressions, right? So now, these kids will pick up and use new words and phrases functionally. Once you teach them something and they pick it up, they will start using it in a functional way. And these number six kids, they shift out of and through behaviors and gestalts quickly. So they go through phases where they do wild things. They, are aggressive, or they're self-stimulating, or they're pouring water, or they're escaping, or they move through these behaviors and gestalts as phases, but they move through them quickly. And when they're always done, they're better, because they use these processes to develop these areas of their brain that are underdeveloped, okay? So these are the six responses that are common with children who you can work with your therapist to identify that this is actually DLD. Now, these kinds of responses are common in autism spectrum disorder. Same intervention, same toys, same, surprise and attractive stuff that you provide. This is what's going to happen. Number one, this child's going to resist connection. Even when you're kind and considerate, even if they know you, even if they love you, they will resist connection when you try to introduce something to them. They have to come to you. They will resist when you try to connect, because they don't trust, naturally don't trust and don't honor it. Number two, their joint attention and eye contact is achieved only when you physically touch them. That's why so many people have to manhandle or grab the forearm of a child with autism, because they cannot stay with a parent or listen or respond to their name. A child with autism is distracted and or overstimulated by exciting visual aids. The more detail and exciting you get in there, the more distracted or overstimulated a child will be with autism. So that's what's different about DLD. Kids with DLD love that stuff. Kids with autism become overstimulated or distracted. That's why therapists clear out their rooms if they work with kids with autism. They don't want colorful posters and stuff, because kids are distracted. Kids with DLD learn from everything in their environment. They look at the posters. They learn from the people. They watch their peers, all of that. Kids with autism don't. Number four, kids with autism, random self-stims and communication behaviors. All behaviors communication, but kids with autism spectrum disorder are communicating to themselves. They self-stim, they self-talk. That's the next one. Their memorized speech is all about what they talk to themselves. They're calming themselves, they're congratulating themselves, they're teaching themselves, they're learning through their own experiences. It's all them, self, 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 right? They self-stim. They're not stimming because they're communicating, I'm frustrated, like the child with DLD flapping their arms because they're anxious and excited. They self-stim because they like to watch their hands flap and that's all they ever want to do, right? It's a very different. And when you work with these kids, you will see the difference. That's why you work with a professional and you watch these. And then number six, they don't move out of gestalts. They stick with the same gestalts and communication behavior, sometimes for weeks, months, or years before they move through. Kids with DLD go through phase after phase after phase after phase because, especially when you're activating their neural development, okay? And here's a little bit more reality about DLD. It is so common and so unique that many therapists don't even know how to spot it. So if you're not aware of it, you're not going to spot it. And if you're inclined to diagnose something different, you're going to dismiss it. And this is what happens with professionals. It literally just happened to my mom, Haley, in Australia. She just tried to present this idea to professionals who know her child, and they immediately dismissed them because it is not a speech professional. It's someone who's looking at behavior. And it, depending on who you work with and who's around in your professional area, it could be impossible to get anyone to tell 100% sure, even for a speech therapist, if your child has DLD or mild autism, or even virtual autism, or Einstein syndrome, or any of those other things. So it really doesn't matter what they're called. That's what I really want to tell you, because the thing is, it's just what you need to know is how to work with it, okay? Professionals are biased towards autism diagnosis because it pays the bills. And you may experience professional ASD experts, and they call themselves ASD experts, just like I call myself a natural facilitation expert, because I'm very passionate about how this method works. And they could be challenging a DLD diagnosis by, you know, these things. The child's still not talking at 4 or 5 years. They're very late talking. So, you know, they should be, if they aren't talking by 4 or 5 years, they're not going to learn. And that is someone who's not familiar with speech and language neurological development, because we know neuroplasticity works into adulthood, and even senior citizens are learning new language. So number two, unusual communication behaviors are always attributed to sensory loss. That's what the autism-focused people will do. They'll say everything that they do says that they have sensory needs, so they're not ready for speech therapy. They need to go to behavior therapy or OT therapy or whatever to get rid of those behaviors before you can actually start working on speech. And that's because the way they're working on speech is a memorized, artificial, canned response, right? Because it's a prompted performance. That's how they look good when they do it. But listen, DLD is a real and common diagnosis. 1 in 16 kids are documented. 1 in 14, it should be 1 in 14 there, are documented at by kindergarten age, right? And people are saying that they're this or that or this or that. But in places where this is accepted, kids are being documented. And it's not just local, it's all over places. And this diagnosis, this real diagnosis, should trigger all of the same funding of any other neurodevelopmental disorder. So if your child would have dyslexia, would they get funding from the NIHS? You know, that kind of thing. Because don't say you can't get help because your child has the wrong diagnosis. We always want the right diagnosis. You get your DLD diagnosis report from a certified speech therapist or pathologist. You don't go to a developmental therapist, you go to a speech therapist, and then you use a provider who is certified in natural speech and behavior facilitation if you want the intervention to match the actual diagnosis. Remember, if your child does have DLD. So how can parents and caregivers work with DLD? What you need to do is facilitate that neurological change and on the underdeveloped area of spoken language, and that's the speech brain. I should say areas, because the speech brain is involved with lots of different areas of the brain. And natural development, natural facilitation, what I developed, what I put together, what I teach on this channel was developed with DLD in mind. That's why I love this disorder, because it exactly classifies so many of the children that their parents are watching this video today. The step-by-step process activates neuroplasticity, which is what's needed, by allowing the child's brain to use your carefully curated content, you parents and caregivers, your demonstrations, your models, your details that these kids love and want, to accelerate development of those speech processes in the brain. And this is what's necessary to help a kid improve, because this is a brain level disorder, not a behavior change, right? So here's how we do brain change. The work must be intensive. Every day, this child has to be in new habits, 2 to 3 hours every day of listening to new, exciting language during their everyday activities and play. And this is how you have the opportunity that provides the intensive language exposure needed to make up for the missed language due to their isolation and slow processing that they do, that they have, that they've been showing up with, as old as they are. Okay. So this has to happen every day, once a week, twice a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week. Speech therapy in a 1 hour session is not enough. It has to happen every day. And the work must be functional to make functional brain change. Okay. We're talking about speech that comes from the child, not programmed output that you're programming in. The work has to be functional for the speech to be functional, and focused training with evolving life skills. This is how parents and caregivers do this every day. This is what helps facilitators provide all of the language modeling that's needed. You don't need any more than 2 to 3 hours a day working with functional change, functional things that you're teaching the child, life skills. And that's how they're going to pick up accurate and functional language on their own, independently, when their brain develops. Okay. Now, children with DLD are all gestalt language learners. So if you want to know very specific speech strategies, there's 2 videos, because like I said, I'm very passionate about helping people help these kids. And this gestalt plus intuition equals natural speech facilitation. And the links to this 2-part video series are in the description of this video, just like that other connection video that you can see. So I also want to tell you about this secret trick that motivates our brain to communicate. This component automatically activates expression and feelings of big ideas, because we're talking about brain change. And this trick works because it activates neuroplasticity for faster speech development, because it activates the area that's right next to the speech area. And we're depending on neuroplasticity. So the secret to faster evolution of the speech brain is movement. If you haven't heard me say this before, movement, movement, movement. All the things that your child does, whether they're doing the movement themselves, they're riding in the car and experiencing movement, or even watching the movement as they watch things fly in the air and fall down and feel the swing. Okay, so movement incorporates neuroplasticity, because what fires together wires together. And the theory was learned from studies of neuroplasticity, studies of the brain. The movement area of the human brain interacts with the speech area and lights it up. So the child who loves to move will suddenly start to love to talk, if you do it the right way. And this theory also explains why so many lay talkers can't stop moving. They can't stop jumping. They're jumping on the beds. They're jumping on the couches. Parents are buying trampolines, right? 1 in 14 kids is a jumper, because they know. Now here I see a third star on this brain, because there's an extra bonus when the child has fun, because the area of the brain that helps us experience enjoyment also interacts with the areas of speech, understanding and expression, thinking, memorization, all those other things, as well as motor development, because remember, your mouth has to move for the speech to come out. So when all those things activate together, what fires together wires together, and this is how neurological development happens naturally and functionally. So here's the deal. Facilitators use the combination of enjoyable movement with intuitive language models to motivate a child's spontaneous expressions, no matter why they're late talking, develop their brain to evolve more quickly into functional speech. And without this neurology work, it's not going to happen because the child's brain is underdeveloped. And that's why these children with DLD need a lot of patience and understanding to motivate the extreme effort it takes them to talk. This child could have motor planning. Remember, the speech brain, this neurological area, is made up of the motor area, the thinking area, the memorization area, the patterns area. That's why music is another trick to help you. And when any of these activities are put together, talking while moving in patterns is singing. Talking while moving, while dancing, talking while jumping, all of those things activate this idea of using the areas of the nerves that are developed super well with the areas that are not so developed. And when they move together like this, they grow. And this is how speech develops for everyone. Because those of us who are talkers, our brain did develop naturally. Some kids developed super fast. So you think about those early talkers, the kids that were chatterboxes or learning multiple languages at 2 and 3 years old, right? They are fast processors. Some DLD kids, their thinking part and memorization part of the brain could be going very fast, but the motor part could be going slow. And that's why they look like they have some coordination problems with their mouth and other things like that. It still requires the same functional activity. So if it's a motor problem, if it's a memory problem, if it's an attention problem. So there's the other thing. We've got to pay attention to listen. And the child has normally got some little signs of those ADHD, right? Because remember, they're showing the signs of all these things, but it's all rooted in this speech brain that you can develop, right? Without your development, right? Bloomer says, would it help reading comprehension? Yes, because reading is written language, right? So all of these things are necessary, the same kind of practice. The only way reading comprehension, which is written language, improves, like spoken language, is when those areas of the brain are activated and improve and grow. Because otherwise, we don't change. We stay the same. We learn the same. And as humans, we instinctively want to evolve. We're evolutionary beings, right? So that's what's going to be super, super important for you to always realize, that these kids, it takes them a lot of work. So if you prompt or pressure or force them to do things, you know, they don't like reading, but you make them read. They don't like talking, so you make them talk. They don't like this, so you make them do this. These least preferred activities, they will, it's no win, not win-win. Okay. You'll fight and they'll fight. So what it takes is carefully planned, natural experience. That's what works. It works for families worldwide who have helped their children with DLD start talking, okay? And it doesn't matter, again, if it was an ear infection or a DLD or even whatever, that brain, where would you start to improve, okay? So let's listen to Laura. I don't know if you saw this interview with Laura, but I talked to her. She is a mom who does this full time. She left her job to stay home with her child and be her 100% full time facilitator. Start them in.
You. I'll send them to you. I go, well, let me tell you about my journey. And then I'll just tell them how it was that I came about it. And I'll tell them I was in their place. You know, I was, I know what frustration is like. I know how heartbreaking it can be for them to go through what they're going with their child and the worry, because I've heard people tell me lots of things, you know, but never give up. It's the number one thing I always say is never give up. Keep trying. And if you think you're doing something wrong, you know, it, try a different way, but you know, watch your, let them tell you, communicate with them and what they want. And, you know, just be patient. I know it's not easy, but patience is key, and put in the work. It's not something that you don't give it to somebody to fix that child for you, because you're the one who gave birth to this child for a reason, right?
So Laura is right that it does take super intensive work. It's needed to make fast brain change. So her child is, you know, she's been working at it for about 4 years and her daughter's a chatterbox now, but it wasn't always fast and it wasn't always easy. And this is a full-time job. And listen, if you are a mom or dad who works or has other children or responsibility, you may struggle to help your child with DLD catch up without natural facilitation assistance. Because remember, we're talking about super intensive work that's needed and parents naturally are distracted. A certified facilitator can help you. You can train your current caregiver or hire a new facilitator to learn together through my certification course to figure out how to help your child use speech instead of all these gestures and nonverbal communication. And you can watch this video to find the right kind of help. So where to find these people who want to be facilitators and how to find the assistance that you need in your home instead of speech therapists or behavior people who are focused on the wrong thing. And you head to wavesofcommunication.com. There's two places to check it out. You can, this button here on the right where it says professional certification, that's where the certification course is. But there are trainings here for parents, self-training resources. My weekly newsletter has strategies every week. And I also have a natural facilitation Q&A support community where you can come in free, ask any questions you want about anything. Do you think it's this? Do you think it's this? There's ways that you can, I'll send you to videos, ad-free videos that are the best from the channel, 20 plus hours of research videos there where you can learn about it in the community. So if you are like Laura and you want to do the job yourself, then you can do it. Now, if you are like Laura and you are the full-time person and you want to take the certification course with a person to train, or you want to take it for yourself, that's fine too. The certification course is, it has a few more videos, very specific training videos on how to set up sessions and how to connect with families and how to manage mindset that a professional provider needs to know to assist the parents that are struggling. Because if you could do this yourself, you would. If you could see progress quickly all by yourself, you would. But if you know that hiring someone to work with your child 15 hours a week, in addition to the 20 to 30 hours a week you can provide, then you'll see the kind of intervention, the intensive intervention that is necessary for your child to make the improvement. Because otherwise, you're just doing temporary strategies. It's like if you were going to do a Duolingo or one of these language learning apps, and then you decided to do it like 15 minutes once a week or an hour. Maybe you did it, dig into it for a whole hour, but you only do it once a week. It's going to take you a lot longer to learn the language for your speech brain that's working well to learn the language when you're just use those language apps. This process, you're working already with a brain that is underdeveloped, that needs extra exposure, that needs the right kind of slow, careful talking to actually get in the mindset of, I think I can talk. I think I want to listen more. I think I want to learn from this person. Because the reality for most kids with DLD is that those of us who are adults, that potentially now that in our 40s and 50s, those Gen Xers and boomers that had DLD are these adults that have very poor language and they're grumpy and they're unhappy and they don't make friends because they don't have good communication. They feel very isolated and alone in the world. Okay. And you don't want that for your child. You don't want them to grow up with this not being addressed, because it is a real thing. And if you just ignore it and just hope your child will catch up because you think it's just virtual autism, or you think soon as that ear fluid clears up, the speech doesn't come, there might be underlying DLD. Soon as you take the videos away and speech doesn't come, there might be underlying DLD, you see? Because remember, all of these things result in underdeveloped brains. And how fast they catch up depends on the intervention. It's just 100%. And it depends on the child, and it depends on the environment, and it depends on all of that. This is a natural process. It's not a cookie cutter approach. Even though there are many, one in 14, that's a lot of kids, super common DLD, right? Even with all these kids, each one is different. And that's why it's parents and caregivers who can address them. Because even as a speech pathologist, working with thousands of these kids, okay, over 30 years across the world, we see them, okay? And the reality is we know what they need, and they need this facilitation, natural, intensive, everyday experience of someone working hard with them to help them learn the language. Because if they don't, they're going to continue to be developmentally delaying language disordered. All right. So let's look. Whoops. Hang on a second. So like I said, head over to the website, wavesofcommunication.com. The link is in the description. If you haven't heard me say it a million times right now, obviously I'm super passionate about it. And that's how you're going to get started with these trainings and start to work together, make your own little tribe. And be sure to sign up for my newsletter at wavesofcommunication.com if you haven't already, because you can receive valuable strategies straight to your email every Sunday. In case you can't watch the video, you're going to learn what it is for the week. I'll give you details that aren't in these videos. And finally, thank you for watching today. Please subscribe to the video. And if you like this content, check out the playlists on my YouTube channel for more than 800 titles for parents of late. Thank you so much for joining me today for another video on the Waves of Communication channel. There was a lot of information in this one, so feel free to share it with your professional, whoever they are, your behavior professional, if they're willing to look at it. Or like I said, just learn who you should work with, because you can waste a lot of time presenting the idea of, I think my child has developmental language disorder, to someone who says, I think your child has autism spectrum disorder, and you'll go round and round and round and round and round till the cows come home. You won't get it for you. You won't get them to buy in, because they're very passionate about what they know. And so am I. And so it's up to you. Watch what they say, watch what I say. But the ultimate, just like Laura said, is watch your child. Sorry, the audio wasn't very good on that, but that's what her advice is, to learn from your child. Just like I said in this video, I gave you the strategies. Connect with them, reach them, try to teach them something, and gauge the response you get. Yourself, the parents and caregivers, the one who knows this child best, before you send them off to someone who doesn't know your child at all, and they start analyzing them through whatever lens they put on that day, okay? So thanks for joining me again today. I'll see you next week with more videos. Please visit my website, wavesofcommunication.com. I've been working very hard to put these resources together for you, because I know what it takes. I've traveled the world to see how parents need this done, and you can do. Bye for now. With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation Journey to Speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.